Okay, this morning I'm going to talk about the repentant heart. Marjorie spoke last week in Colossians 3 from 1 to verse 4, I think it was, and told us the story of Hannah and the struggles that she had and the things that the Lord had said to her and the wonderful blessing that she did have through all that. So let's just read Colossians 3, and we're doing verses 5 to 11. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self and it practices, and have put on the new self, which has been renewed in the knowledge, in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric. And then, is it Sicilian? Yeah. Slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. In this passage, Paul calls the Colossian believers to a radical transformation of their lives. He begins by urging them to put to death whatever belongs to their earthly nature. This includes behaviours and desires that are contrary to God's will: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. Paul identifies greed as a form of idolatry because it places material desires above God. And we can see this in our own lives in little ways. Sometimes we'll think, oh, I'd really like that, or, oh, do you think I should get that? And you sort of have this inward conversation with yourself and you're trying to work out, oh, should I really do that or not? But it's those little things, and if we sometimes let those things take hold, then it becomes a bigger thing, and before we realize that, we've gone further down the track. But the Lord wants us to look at those little things. And when we think about, oh, should I get that? We can always say, hey, Lord, what do you reckon? And, you know, have that conversation with him. He wants to be embracing our whole life. He wants to be in those little conversations. We think, oh, wow, he's too busy. But that's what it is to be in a relationship, is to have those silly little comments that you think, oh, that's nothing, but actually he wants those with us. He wants that conversation. He wants that relationship with us. In Romans 6:6, it says, our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. Hallelujah. How great is that, to know that sometimes we bring ourselves under that condemnation again, but it's the Lord who releases us and breaks those chains that hold us. Also in Romans 8:13, it says, if you keep on following it, you will perish. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit, you turn from it and its evil deeds, you will live. Paul warns us that because of these sins, the wrath of God is coming. This is a reminder of the seriousness of sin and the need for repentance. He acknowledges that these behaviors were part of the Colossians' past lives, but emphasizes that they must now live differently. Key word, differently. So we need to look at what we're doing. Okay, we've repented. We've said to the Lord, I lay this before you, but have we changed our model and how we live those things out? The apostle continues by listing additional sins to discard: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language. These disruptive behaviors harm relationships and disrupt the unity of the community. Paul also advises against lying to one another, highlighting the importance of honesty and integrity. So even us in our little community here, we're wanting to see the Lord flourish and for us to grow. But I think at times we need to be also looking at us ourselves and thinking, if we had an influx of people, how would I feel about that? How would I actually deal with someone who maybe is smelly and a bit dirty? Or someone who cussed all the time? How would I deal with that in our church setting? And I think we need to look at what are the things in our lives maybe that would hold us back reaching out to people like that? And what are the things that maybe the Lord is zeroing in on and saying, hey, what about this little thing over here that you've been keeping away from me? I'd really like to dive in there and tackle that today. So just have a think. See what he's saying. A key aspect of this transformation is the concept of taking off the old self and putting on the new self. This new self is continually being renewed in knowledge and becoming more like the Creator. A fresh start characterized by a growing understanding of God and a commitment to live according to his image. Paul concludes by affirming the unity and the equality of all believers in Christ. In this new self, there is no distinctions based on ethnicity, religious background, social status, or nationality. Christ is all and is in all, breaking down the barriers and fostering a community where everyone is valued and included. And I think as a society, we've got a long way to go to get there. But as Christians, we can just keep persevering, and with us bringing before the Lord all those things that we've been holding back and getting him to deal with will help us to be a more loving and Christ-like person, to be able to express those things to the world. This passage challenges us to examine our lives, identify areas where we need to put to death old habits and behaviors. It calls us to embrace the new self, continually renewing ourselves in the knowledge of God and living in a way that reflects his image. Let us strive to rid ourselves of anything that hinders our relationship with God and others, and to live in the unity of community, a united community in Christ. In verse 10, the Lord is wanting us to grow in him, to become more like him in his character. Each sin that we bring to him in repentance brings us closer to him and giving another part of us for him to have more dominion in our lives. More of him and less of us. In verse 11, it talks, it's also Romans 10, 12. It says, Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They all have the same Lord, who generously gives his riches to all who ask for them. And in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, it says, some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles. Some are slaves and some are free. But we will have all been baptized into Christ's body by one Spirit. And we have all received the same Spirit. Okay, I'm going to keep that for a minute. When we know who we are in the Lord, then we become more effective for Him. Then we can reach out beyond what we think we can do and walk what the Lord is asking us to do. We can then show Christ's love and compassion to each other and the lost, as it is in His strength and not our own. As a church, we are wanting to grow. At present, I feel the Lord is bringing us closer to Him and showing us the keys to unlock areas in our lives to be open to His healing and realize areas in our life that He wants to be a part of. The pieces of our heart that we feel is either too dirty or it's hurtful to share with Him, but He wants us to be free of that fear, the oppression and the lies of the enemy, to repent and ask for His forgiveness and for believing forgiveness for believing these lies of the enemy. So this last couple of months has been a real challenge for me. I have felt out of sorts for a good month and a bit, and didn't know what the Lord was saying to me or what was happening, but I just knew something wasn't right. And then the Lord was, He was in this time, He was preparing me for what I felt He was saying to me. The Lord showed me one night as I was driving home from work, captive audience, a couple of things that I, at the time, did not want to believe about a person that had been in my life for a long time. Then, as I was sharing with a friend what the Lord had been showing to me, I had a prominent person in my life who had created a spider web of lies, of what they knew I needed to hear in the relationship to make what was important to me and my walk with the Lord. A spider web has amazing, beautiful patterns. And when it rains and the sun shines and the sun comes out, it shines and sparkles like a thing of beauty. Sometimes it's invisible to the eye. And due to that way, the light hits when the light hits it, and before you know it, you are stuck in its web. And you are slowly suffocating. The spider starts to spin its web around you to devour later for a snack. And yet, you do not know this, as this has happened, as you have been put into a sleep. I have to take responsibility for my part in all this, as I only saw what I thought was happening due to my viewpoint on life, some of it godly, and some of it my old self. Yet the Lord came and plucked me from this web. Even when you are plucked from the web, you still have some of that stickiness of the web that still is attached to your feet. And then you have to walk out what the Lord is saying to you in obedience. And as you walk, the traces of that web are worn off. And the Lord takes hold of those areas that you have given to Him. I have realized that this is going to be a process of walking out and not taking on board those lies and deceit, even though it is hurtful. I am already feeling so much lighter and thankful to the Lord for His patience with me and his timing and wanting to see me realize and another area given over to him. There go by the grace of God, go I. And that's paraphrased from 1 Corinthians 15, 8 to 10. To take Jesus' hand and rest in him and receive his forgiveness. This is not an easy place to be, but the release from the unburdening your heart and repenting is freeing. A new self is born. And in that area, we have given to Jesus. Jesus speaks and breathes life into these areas we have opened up to him. No more oppression or slavery to these sins and false beliefs we have been living under. Now, I just want to go back here. So we're going to play in a minute a music clip. But I just want you to think of these three things. What is Jesus saying to you? Where are you in your walk with him? And when we know who we are in the Lord, then we can become more effective in him. And who is Jesus to you? So we're just going to play this clip now and just think about those three things. Thank you. So as you go out this week, think about the song. Think about what are the things that the Lord has been saying to me today as we go through this next week. What are the things that he's asking of me? What things can I lay at his feet? And for him to have that new part of my heart that I maybe have not given up before. Thanks a lot.